Right, so the gospel this morning has this story of the disciples are coming back from Jesus. Well, they're coming back from the fact that Jesus had sent them all out on a mission. Like he'd given them authority over unclean spirits and to teach and to heal. And they went out two by two, and they went out into the land, and they did what Jesus called them to do. They're coming back now. In the meantime, we had heard the story of the death of John the Baptist, which we talked about last week. So now they're returning, and they're all excited. They want to tell Jesus all the things that had happened to them as they went out and did their mission. And Jesus says, "This is great, wonderful. Let's go to a deserted place. We'll rest a while. We'll hear stories. This will be nice." So they get in a boat, and they go. But the people on the shore see them, recognize them. Those guys came to my town. I recognize those two guys, right? And they rush, and they go to where they were going to go. And so when they get to the shore, Jesus and the disciples, they step out, and there's a whole amphitheater of people waiting for them. This is not a quiet retreat. But Jesus steps out onto the land, and he has compassion. We're told he has compassion for them. And it's a really strong word. It's not just like, I think our best way of looking, it just tore his heart out. That's a good translation. It just tore his heart out to see all these people. And why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus recognizes us. He's on to us. Like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't. It's like, could be that they felt like they didn't have a shepherd, because it's possible that these people were the people who were following John the Baptist, and their shepherd has been assassinated, killed, so they don't have a shepherd anymore. Or it could be like from Jeremiah that Jesus is thinking, they don't have a shepherd, all right? I mean, they've got some pretty lousy leaders. Herod, as their leader, that's no shepherd at all. One way or the other, though, they look like they are sheep without a shepherd. They don't really know what to do. And so he begins to teach them. And I think this is just really interesting. What an instinct. People are without a shepherd. They're harassed. They're lost. They are hurting. They are suffering. And what does Jesus do? He begins to teach them. What is he teaching them? Well, as I think many of you know, in my former congregation, sometimes I would be, after the service, people would come out, and I would come out and greet people, and people would say, "Well, Pastor, you really taught us today." And I'd say, "Okay, that's good." And then sometimes I'd come out and say, "Pastor, you really preached today." And for a while I was like, okay, then, you know, whatever. But then I started to be curious about what's the difference between teaching and preaching. So like, I got up the courage to ask one of the elders. I said, "Bill, what's the difference between teaching and preaching? Because I hear both of those things." And he says, "Well, Pastor," he says, "when we say you're teaching something, it means you give us something good to think about through the week, you know, something we can apply to our life. It's really good. It's nice. That's a good thing." And he says, "But when you're preaching, Jesus is here. You can feel it. That's the difference, right?" So I'm like, "Oh, okay, got it." Of course, I always wanted to be preaching then. But it's all right. So anyway, but here's Jesus, and he's teaching, but I think Jesus is teaching toward preaching. And I think that's a new thing for me to consider, that you can actually teach toward preaching. So we don't know exactly what he said to the people, right? But they're like sheep without a shepherd, so it makes perfect sense to assume that Jesus might have just said, looked into his Bible and said, "Oh, look at that, my Bible landed on the 23rd Psalm. How about that?" Right? Certainly, the people who put together our readings thought so. It's possible that he would just step out and say, "Okay, folks, here we go. Get out your Bibles. Turn to Psalm 23. You look like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Well, here's a whole group of people that are in all kinds of want. They don't know exactly their left from their right. They're hurting, they're suffering, they're needing healing, they're needing food, they're needing all kinds of things. They've got nothing but needs that they bring to Jesus. And he teaches them. No, God is your shepherd. God has always provided for you. Do you not remember when you were a slave in Egypt and God took you out of slavery into freedom? Do you not remember walking across the Red Sea and not getting wet? Do you not remember the manna in the wilderness when you didn't have anything to eat and manna came from heaven? God provides this. You don't need to be in want. You will not be in want. And then, of course, he goes on, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, which was his plan originally with his disciples. That plan particularly didn't get worked out because he couldn't find a place without all the people. But there they are. And then he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then we get to this. This is where the turn comes. And it doesn't happen in our translation, unfortunately, but it happens here. In the original, it's this. Leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It goes from talk about God to talk to God. And when does that happen? Right when they start talking about being in the valley of the shadow. And it's there that the teaching becomes preaching, in my opinion. You who don't have a shepherd, you do. You feel like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with you. Right here. This prayer goes from third person to second person. You lead me through this valley. You tend to me. And that's, oh my gosh, what a great and wonderful good news that in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our pain, we can say, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The enemy of death, the enemy of suffering. And Jesus prepares a table. And in fact, right there in this story, which we don't get to hear today, but right after he finishes teaching, the disciples tell Jesus, it's getting late, send them home, and let them get something to eat. Jesus says, you give them something. Harkening back to manna in the wilderness, right? You give them something to eat. And they say, we don't have anything. A couple loaves, a couple fish. And Jesus says, bring it to me. And he presents it to God and gives it out. And all the people there are fed and tended to. It's the same way that he does that for us. We can talk, I can sit here and talk about God. But when we go to the table, we aren't receiving bread about God. We are receiving Christ in bread. Jesus is giving himself to us in this bread and in this wine and in these words. He's not teaching anymore. It's preaching. It's giving God's self over to us. It's enacting this amazing thing where we don't have to choose God at all. God has chosen us. Sheep though we are, God chooses us and loves us and gathers us in. So sheep without a shepherd. We've all felt it. And I think in the last several weeks I've been talking a little bit about how intense stuff at the food bank has been. If I've been telling you about those things, there's all these people that have all these issues at the food bank. My job at the food bank is to be the maitre d'. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to lug any boxes. I don't have to do anything but talk to the people as they drive through. Well, after a while, they're thinking, this is crazy. They're driving through, and they're all staying in their cars, and they don't have any community. And so many people are isolated, and it just, this kind of lining up in the car doesn't help. So we started doing a worship service at 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. I get there and I invite people who are there. There's a whole line of folks already. I say, let's go and we'll do a worship service. A simple service of Lord have mercy. And we do a whole litany of things for which we ask God to have mercy on us. And y'all know that Lord have mercy means I can't do anything about this situation, God. You're going to have to take care of it. Lord have mercy. Because if I say anything about it, or if I do anything, it'll just make it worse. So Lord have mercy. I think we can all figure out one or two situations in our life like that. And then the other is to give thanks for things that we receive from God. So it's two, very simple. So the first day we get out, I was thinking we're going to have a service at, on the bleachers there by the baseball field. And all the people get out and they go, oh, it's too hot. And so somebody points to the dugout and says, how about in there? There's shade in there. And so we all go into the dugout of the baseball field. So this is combining all kinds of wonderful things for me. A service in Spanish on a baseball field. Does it get any better than that? I don't think so. Oh, we could have had Italian food. That's right. There you go. Yeah, that would really done it. All right, so there we are. And so the first time, there's, you know, a half dozen people, and we're praying and going through it, and the most beautiful thing happens. These people don't know each other. And there's one guy who is prayed about his leg because he hasn't been able to work because his leg has just, he can't walk on his leg very well. And so we're praying for that. Afterwards, there's a bunch of women who don't have it. What's your name? Oh, okay, let me give you your name because I want to pray for you and give them all kinds of words of encouragement. You know, God is going to be with you. God's walking with you. And he's like, yes, yes, oh, yeah. And it's like, they were really, no, you don't get it. God is with you. And he's, oh, yeah, okay, I got it. And beautiful. Just an amazing, small little community that gathered in that one, like, 20-minute service. Okay. Next week comes, and then all of a sudden there's people coming. We're praying for a woman whose son has a horrible disease that's I won't go into details, flesh-eating disease. And she's beside herself with it. It's horrible. Okay. There's another woman who's got four sons and another who is out of the house, is older. And this woman's husband is in the detention center in Tacoma. Right, been there for 4 months. She doesn't know anything about how to get it through to him. She knows he's still there. There was word from through a lawyer that he's still there, but there's no way out right now. He just can't figure out a way, but he's still there. Okay, she's home with four of the kids. Right, so praying for her. Praying for again this man with the bad leg. There are people who just cannot work right now because they're physically unable to work. It's like sheep without a shepherd. And so we are being called together to be a flock so that we can hold each other up. And everybody's doing that. And it's so beautiful in this little dugout. It's a little church in miniature. Right? It's so nice and beautiful and wonderful and sad and hard. And in all of it, Jesus is saying, I am with you. And this woman is telling that woman, I am with you. And she is embodying Christ by saying so. So when Jesus says, they're like sheep without a shepherd, okay, I will be your shepherd. I am your shepherd. God is your shepherd. And we just need to be reminded of that every once in a while. Because we chase after all kinds of other stuff. and other people and other things and other ideas that might be shepherds for us. And God says, no, I am your shepherd. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will love you. And even though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death with you, do not fear. It's not that bad things aren't going to happen to you, but I am with you. I, who am the creator of life and the conqueror of death, I am your shepherd. That little dugout, it reminds me a little bit of this little dugout. Huh? We are in this together. We are the sheep of God's pasture. And every once in a while, we just need to be reminded to reorient to who our shepherd really is and to receive him in word and in bread and wine and in prayer. So sheep isn't such a great, you know, we don't all aspire to be sheep. But we have a wonderful shepherd. Amen. Amen.